Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Kathy Ferguson and Morris at 815-941-3758. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's December the 20th, 2005. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. He's in New Market, Indiana. In agricultural news, under the category of So What Else Is New, the Doha round of the WTO is under a time crunch and it may be in trouble. Or maybe that's just more political wrangling. Dave Dickey will give us the actual facts of this story a bit later in the program. And today we'll hear about some end-of-the-year websites you can visit to brush up on everything from cooking a turkey to farm income taxes. Just after the bottom of the hour, meteorologist Don Day will join us for a look at the agricultural weather forecast. And oh, in between, we'll hear all about the Hardee's Reindeer Ranch and how the farmers there used the idea to stay where they wanted to stay, right there on their land. Stay with us, won't you, for this Tuesday edition of WILL AM 580's Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com.
In Chicago on this Tuesday afternoon, futures finished like this. The March wheat at 328, up 4 3/4. May futures at 337 1/4. We're up 5 1/4 for the day. From the Kansas City Board of Trade, the nearby March contract in the wheat pit at 374 1/2. Hard red winter wheat settled 3.5 cents higher. From the Chicago Board of Trade corn pit, March contract there at 209 3/4, up a penny at the end of the day. May futures up 1 cent at 218 3/4, and July contract at 227 1/4, up 1/2. December futures for next year at 246 1/4, the harvest month up 0.75 cents. Soy complex settling back today after yesterday's and this morning's gain, 605 1/4, the settlement price down 3 1/4 today. The March futures are down 4 at 616 1/2, and the May contract at 626, down 2 1/4 for the beans. Next year's November contract at 634 1/4, down 4 cents. January bean meal, 197.80. They were off 80. January bean oil down 26 at 21.31. Mercantile exchange numbers, January feeder cattle, 115.05. They were up 47 1/2 cents. December live cattle, up 85 cents at 96.62 1/2. And the February lean hogs today at the Mercantile Exchange settled at $65.15. They were up 16 for the day.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Hi, Wayne.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about this marketplace. We had a pretty good upswing yesterday in the bean pit, some follow-through this morning, but she settled lower for the day.
Yeah, Todd, we had quite an exciting day yesterday, of course. Then this morning, we started, well, overnight, of course, was somewhat quiet in a very tight range. And then this morning, we opened, was that tight range again for the first 5 minutes or so, and looked like, you know, we were just going to struggle to see what the funds were going to do and what was going to happen. We saw Carr step in and be a big buyer of corn, Rand sort of the buyer of the beans, and we shot up, and we shot down, we shot back up, we sat around, we worked our way slowly back up, and then near the end of the day, pine dried up. There weren't any big sellers, Todd, just some locals going into the close when this market fell under its own weight. And, you know, we still did close above that 602 1/2. Basically, you know, in the Jan beans closing at 605, but the breakout point at 602 1/2 there. So we're somewhat in a 602 1/2 to 615 trading range for right now. So that's where we're at looking at the bean market.
It should make for an interesting rest of the week as we go through what is normally a very light volume trade week this week, and certainly next week light volume when things really can explode just on a limited amount of trade.
Yes, it sure can, and that's what we said. Now, there was very active trade today. You know, as we looked here, there was somewhere in the corn market, there was somewhere between 15 to 18,000 contracts of corn traded today that the funds were buyers of, and, you know, and between 3,500 and 4,000 contracts of beans. So not a quiet holiday trade as far as that goes today. And it looks like people will still be around in the pits tomorrow. It's Thursday and Friday when the volume gets thin that one or two of the funds could really push things.
And so before that, before we get to those 2 days, do you suspect tomorrow will be a big push between the bears and bulls to see who's going to win?
You know, I'm not sure. Well, it'll be very trying to see whether the funds continue to be buyers, because we saw when they went away, the way a little bit of commercial selling and a little bit of local selling, because the commercials are buying a little bit of grain now. There's a lot of farmers that are saying, hey, these are levels where I'm getting, you know, $6 cash beans in some areas on these little pop-ups. And, you know, the corn, when it got up around 210 on the board, that was basically $2 corn in some places, and that's what some of the farmers have been looking for to move some stuff. So, you know, between a little commercial hedging and, you know, what's happened if the funds don't, why we see we're not going to run this market for right now. You know, we saw today one of the notices, some talk about La Nina coming in a month or two, and very much watching it a lot more. Very varied forecasts as to whether South America got enough rain and is getting enough rain and forecasted, or to being dry, depending on which private forecaster you look at, Todd. So that, in one case, adds enthusiasm, in another case, takes it away. So, you know, very varied mix as far as near-term weather in South America.
Yesterday, I spoke with Extension Ag economist Daryl Good. We were talking about the bean market. He suggested at that point that it might be 40 to 50 cents overpriced simply because of the fundamental supply side of this market. Would you agree?
As long as, if we would continue with good weather in South America and nothing happened, I'd have to concur wholeheartedly. Without a weather problem down there, you just look at what supplies are, the chance of them raising production in the January report, and the way that Brazil and South America right now, you know, we're running 24% behind year-ago levels as far as shipping pace. And we've got the highest projected U.S. soybean inventory in 19 years here in the U.S. So, yeah, I guess I'd have to agree with Daryl, as long as we don't have some weather problems.
And he had the same ifs as you do, which were no weather problems in South America on that point. Tell me about the corn market, then we'll have to let you go.
Well, like I say, Carr was the big buyer here today. We also seem to be caught in a little bit of a trading range there. You know, we got up to 212. You know, we're closing 204 to 212. Seems to be we were 204 to 210. Now we're 204 to 212, and not caught in our trading range there. We do see some people that are looking very seriously about start some sales here in the 48 to 52 range as far as the new D's corn.
We appreciate you being with us today.
Thank you, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on Tuesday afternoons. At the bottom of the hour, meteorologist Don Day of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. We'll look at the agricultural weather forecast with us. AM 580's forecast for tonight across the two-state region is really quite simple, they say. Tonight, partly cloudy skies. Lows ranging from near zero in far northwestern Illinois to 22 in the far south. And tomorrow, partly to mostly sunny skies. Highs will range from 22 in the far northern parts of Illinois to 42 in the far south. That's a look at the forecast from WILL AM 580.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible in part by a grant from Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. For more information, call 866-837-9027.
Before we get to the news today, we'll review a series of websites that can help you with everything for the end of the year, from cooking a holiday turkey to Christmas tree care, and even how to deal with farm income taxes. If you need the basics about cooking a holiday turkey safely or making sure the leftovers are stored properly, help is only a mouse click or two away on University of Illinois Extension's Turkey for the Holidays web offering. The site is on the Urban Programs Resource Network at www.urbanext.com. www.uiuc.edu under the Nutrition and Health section. Just do a Google search for Illinois Urban Extension. At the turkey site, consumers will find information about the selection of a holiday turkey, proper ways of cooking it, side dishes, and even the locations of turkey farms. While you're on Illinois' Urban Extension website, you might as well check out the user-friendly information about types of Christmas trees, too, and the locations of tree farms in Illinois, Indiana, Michigan, and Wisconsin. That information is under the Hort Corner banner. That's Horticulture Corner, says Jane Shear, U of I Extension Urban Programs Specialist. This year, she says the site has been updated with links to other Christmas tree sites people might find interesting. There's even a recipe for Christmas tree cookies, as well as instructions on homemade tree ornaments. The site also includes links to information about the care of holiday plants. Once you plow through November and December, if you're a farmer, you'll probably want to move on to another U of I website for January and the farm income tax season. The Farm Doc website at www.farmdoc.uiuc.edu has a wealth of information on agricultural taxation under two headings. The most obvious is the link to law and taxation, where you'll find information on estate and gift issues, income tax deductions, and self-employment issues, as well as links to the Farmer's Tax Guide at the IRS. Under the Tools heading, there are a series of downloadable spreadsheets that should make managing the paperwork of farm income much easier. The FarmDoc site is one of the best in the nation for farmers, and it was built in part with money allocated by Illinois taxpayers through Illinois CFAR, or the Council on Food and Agricultural Research. State Representative Roger Eddy of Southern Illinois recently toured the website with the aid of the farm income specialist at Illinois. He came away duly impressed.
I was tremendously impressed by the website, the information at really a touch of a mouse to the number of folks in this state that are involved in the agriculture industry is very, very impressive. I mean, it rivals any website that I've seen put together for any reason.
You can visit the FarmDoc website at www.farmdoc.uiuc.edu. For information on the holidays, visit the Illinois Urban Extension website. Just type Illinois Urban Extension into your favorite search engine. For U of I Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
The Carle Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carle Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on WILL AM 580. Now today's agricultural news with Dave Dickey.
In agricultural news, World Trade Organization Director General Pascal Lamy said Monday he's not sure whether negotiators will meet an April 30th deadline to reach a framework agreement for a new world trade deal. Lamy's remark signals the Doha round may be in trouble. American Farm Bureau Federation trade specialist Rosemary Watkins says negotiators know that time is dwindling to get a deal done.
Certainly, this is an important negotiation, and we have to continue to try to move forward. Trade Promotion Authority is going to expire for the United States, and people know that, and they know that there is a limited amount of time before that happens, and if indeed they're going to do something, they have to do it before then. So perhaps that'll act as an impetus.
At his final news conference yesterday before departing Hong Kong, U.S. Trade Representative Rob Portman stressed that agricultural market access is the key to success. But the plan WTO member countries signed Sunday failed to achieve any significant breakthroughs in the U.S. goal of reducing barriers to agriculture trade and required the U.S. to make several key concessions to the European Union for which it appeared to receive little or nothing in return. USDA Secretary Mike Johans puts the blame for the lack of a breakthrough in Hong Kong squarely at the feet of the EU, and he says the EU must step up on market access or the Doha round will end in failure.
Do they have the political will? I sure hope so. They hold the key to the Doha round. The European Union really has to step up now. They really have to step up their commitment to market access and opening up their very, very protected markets to world trade.
U.S. trade groups were, for the most part, not optimistic that a world agricultural deal will be reached. National Cotton Council Chairman Woods Eastland says the statement approved by trade ministers over the weekend is not consistent with the concept of fair trade. The agreement says all forms of export subsidies for cotton will be eliminated by developed countries in 2006. And National Farmers Union President Dave Fredrickson says the failure of the WTO to agree on anything more than eliminating export subsidies by 2013, with the exception of cotton, shows any agreement on agriculture will be difficult to achieve unless negotiators are willing to deal with all trade factors. According to Fredrickson, that includes labor standards, environmental standards, and currency manipulation. Johans says he's not surprised with the reaction of U.S. trade groups, since the U.S. gained virtually no ground on the issue most important to U.S. ag producers, that again, gaining market access.
We did not anticipate we'd have a market access breakthrough. And so again, what you're looking at here is a ministerial document that has some very important elements that are not a part of it. So it is understandable to me that their response would be lukewarm.
Still, not all reaction was negative. American Soybean Association President Bob Metz spent the week in Hong Kong, and he says more may yet emerge from the talks and has been revealed.
We don't know all the details in the back rooms, you know, the deals that were worked out that may, over the next month or two move forward. You got to think about it. You got a lot of countries with a lot of different interests and a lot of different economic backgrounds. And to get all those on the same page is pretty tough.
And Indiana Senator Dick Lugar, chairman of the Senate Finance Committee, believes Europe will eventually come around because they have to.
Well, I'm optimistic that they will move because Europe has to trade. Europe is sending to the United States huge amount of exports. Germany was the largest exporter total of everything last year. So they depend upon trade, and as a result, they will eventually make some concessions.
Still, if negotiators do not begin work in earnest on a new trade deal for manufactured goods and services until they have reached a substantial agreement on agriculture, they might have a problem completing the round in time for Congress to consider the deal before trade promotion authority expires in July of 2007. The Senate will vote this week on a scaled-back budget savings package that includes just over $2.7 billion in farm spending cuts. The House passed the bill, known as budget reconciliation, early Monday morning. John Doggett, National Corn Growers Association Vice President for Public Policy, says the biggest cuts are in the advance direct payments.
Direct payment advance reduced from 50% to 40% for 06 and to 22%. For 07, the savings from 06 to 10 is $1,452 million. And then upland cotton is another $282 million. CSP, over the 5 years, cut another $649 million. EQIP was cut $75 million. And the Watershed Rehab Program, another $210 million.
The Senate will also vote this week on a defense spending bill worth nearly a $500 billion. The measure includes $29 billion to fund disaster assistance for victims of Hurricane Katrina, but no money to help Midwest ag producers hard hit this year by drought in some spots and floods in others. South Dakota Republican Senator John Thune.
The provisions that were in there for agricultural disaster assistance were stripped out by the House.
Senate Republican leaders are having trouble mustering the 60 votes needed to end debate on the defense spending bill. The key bone of contention, a provision authorizing oil exploration in the Alaska National Wildlife Refuge. And South Korea and the U.S. agreed today to begin talks next month on resuming American beef imports following a 2-year ban over mad cow fears. The decision, which came during a 50-minute meeting between the U.S. Undersecretary of Agriculture for Farm and Foreign Agricultural Services, J.B. Penn, and South Korean Vice Agriculture Minister Lee Young-soo, would mark the first step in reopening what has been the third largest export market for American beef. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. You know, there's a reindeer ranch right here in East Central Illinois. It even has Christmas trees. You might say the ranch is a gift of sorts to the farmers who operate it. Hardy's Reindeer Ranch is keeping the owners on the farm. Frankly, Hardy's Reindeer Ranch was supposed to be a Christmas tree farm, but ended up a tourist attraction in row crop farm country on the outskirts of Rantoul, Illinois. When Mark Hardy's family decided to stop milking cows, he decided to raise trees. Well, it was a fine idea, though his wife, Julie, wondered just what Mark would do with all those trees. She's a natural at sales and decided Hardy's Christmas trees needed a hook. So she talked Mark into buying a set of reindeer.
She came up with a theme. Well, we had the Christmas trees growing, and what I was going to do was sell them out of the garage. I did have an idea what I was going to do with them. But anyway, she thought instead of selling them out of the garage, why don't we build what is a whole Christmas experience, which would include a gift shop, and then also an animal attraction. She found out we could get reindeer. Keep in mind, reindeer run around $5,000 a set. We checked them out. There was some up in Michigan. Argued about a month or so over that. Obviously, I lost, and we were in the business.
The Hardys, family farmers, were in the tourist attraction business with real reindeer. Yes, that's right, reindeer. They do exist, and boy, are people willing to come and see them. People by the busload. That's when the next problem arrived. The Hardys had to figure out what to do with the visitors coming to see the reindeer. So they built a gift shop. And that worked. And then a place to feed and even entertain the hungry folks. And that seems to work too. Consequently, so do the Hardys, says wife Julie.
One night I was reading an article in my new farm journal. They said that you could make gasoline from a little old corn kernel.
My husband and I are very, very particular about making sure everything is done just so right. This is our farm and our place, and we do spend a lot of hours working here. It's so seasonal. We have very, very busy seasons, and then certain times of the year that are not as busy. But yeah, we put a lot of hours into it. But I love what I do. It's wonderful.
One of the things it took the Hardys a bit of time to figure out and advice they'd like to pass on to others interested in agritourism on their farm is that whether it's the reindeer or the go-karts or the corn maze, you, as the farmer, need to charge people to see it.
That's something in ag tourism that the farmers are going to have to realize, that what they do has value. Whether I'm doing a field trip for kids in town, whether I'm doing a senior citizens tour from across the nation, that these people want to come out and experience your farm. If you're offering food, you've got to be compensated. If you're taking your time to do a tour, or you have expensive animals or different, you have to be compensated.
The Hardys charge a fee for everything, but it really doesn't matter to the people coming to visit the farm. They're there for the experience, and if they've come 50 or 80 miles or 800 miles, then it's worth the money. And for the Hardys, a farm family, it's worth the time. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason on the Hardys Reindeer Ranch outside Rantoul, Illinois. In about 2 minutes, I'll talk with agricultural meteorologist Don Day about the weather. Your local newscast comes up next.
Agricultural information on AM 580 is made possible with support from Lincoln Land Agri-Energy in Palestine, Illinois, producing a renewable fuel with corn bought directly from the farmer. More information at 800-586-2321 or online at LincolnLandAgriEnergy.com.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. A member of the Illinois Commerce Commission is on the stand at George Ryan's racketeering and fraud trial. Kevin Wright was Ryan's deputy chief of staff in both the Secretary of State's office and the governor's office. Ryan then appointed him to the State Commerce Commission, which regulates the rates that consumers pay for their telephone, electric power, and natural gas. Wright is on the stand under a grant of immunity from prosecution for anything he might admit to while telling the jury about his activities while working for Ryan. But Wright had barely begun testifying before defense attorneys and prosecutors began to wrangle over just what the government should be allowed to ask him. Ryan and his co-defendant Larry Warner have pleaded innocent to racketeering, mail fraud, and other offenses. Officials in Rantoul have decided to contest a judge's ruling to reinstate that village's former fire chief. Village board members voted unanimously to appeal the decision. Mayor Neil Williams says 20 out of 27 firefighters have put their faith behind current chief Ken Waters. Richard Quick was suspended last year after he arranged to have a fire truck fixed outside the village's garage. He maintains the truck would have been unsafe without outside help, and he argued the punishment was unwarranted. Indiana Governor Mitch Daniels says state employees there will receive a 2% pay raise next year. The state will also increase its contribution for workers' health insurance. Daniels says the increases are possible because of Indiana's progress toward balancing the budget. Illinois is ranked 10th in an environmental group's list of states with the most contaminants in their drinking water. The Environmental Working Group looked at records in 42 states that agreed to provide data collected from 1998 to 2003. Next spring's primary in Champaign County will feature only one contested race at the county level, a challenge to two county board Democrats. Board Chairman Barb Wysocki and Steve Beckett will face former board member Rob Kirchner and Lisa Bell in the 9th District. The two incumbents received fire for agreeing with minority Republicans on the board to vote Wysocki for the leadership post earlier this year. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. You're listening to The Information Advantage. This is WILL Urbana. It's a broadcasting service of the College of Communications here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. On hand with us this afternoon is Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, to tell us that we're not going to have a white Christmas here in central Illinois this week, are we?
Well, it's not snow on Christmas Day. Not looking like it, but it is going to be chilly. We're not going to lose this colder air that's moved in. So while there may not be much new snow in the future, maybe a little bit up before Christmas, it's not going to be terribly warm or the reverse of what you'd think on Christmas time.
And then between now and then, do we get a little heat in here?
Key word there is a little bit. We may see some temperatures get up into the 40s as we get on into Friday and as we get into Saturday. But it does appear that maybe on Christmas Eve Saturday, a front coming on through will produce some scattered rain and snow showers. And then behind that front, temperatures on Christmas Day back down into the 30s.
That's what I was thinking, that the snow we had on the ground probably would dissipate, and we might not get in any more in before Santa was due on Saturday.
There's a little bit of a chance that Saturday night something could come in.
Well, let's hope that we have just a bit of a white Christmas. That would be very nice. Tell me about the South American weather and how that crop is progressing.
Well, not bad. They have had some very favorable weather. Now, as you look at the forecast down in South America, they've had some pretty good moisture lately, and that trend is going to continue, especially in areas of Brazil. Now, one thing is that with the recent rainfall and the active weather pattern, it has been a little cooler than normal down there, and that trend is expected to continue over the next 7 to 10 days. So while moisture is good, they could use a little bit of heat, especially if we see this go a little bit longer.
Is that Brazil or Argentina or both?
That would be both.
And how much cooler than normal?
Well, anywhere from about 5 to 10 degrees on average. And that, over a week or two of time, can add up when it comes to getting those heat units accumulated.
Indeed it can. Tell me about vegetative cover, if you've taken a look at it.
It's looking pretty good, especially in those areas that have picked up some moisture early in the growing season down there. And right now, it appears that if it does warm up a little bit after this recent rainfall, that conditions will look even better.
Check in on the wheat crop across the globe for me.
Well, not a lot of moisture is expected in Australia. We do have some good moisture that's going to be going into portions of China. And we do need some moisture in the wheat areas of the U.S. Looking ahead towards later into the season, the Kansas area, the area of Oklahoma, Texas Panhandle areas, only a little bit of moisture recently, and they've got a long spell now without any moisture, and that will be a concern, especially if we continue to see Arctic surges come in, and there could be another one headed towards the new year that may have an impact.
Don, we appreciate you being with us today.
Thank you.
You have a Merry Christmas now. Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens on Tuesday afternoons. And that is today's CMR. Be sure to tune in tomorrow morning at 8:49 for our first in-depth look at the day's markets. And remember, you can listen to today's futures analysis and the weather reports right there on the World Wide Web. Just go to will.uiuc.edu, click on AM, and then agriculture. This is my last time on the air until after the new year, at least live here in the studio. Dave Dickey will be sitting in for me for the rest of this week and all of next week, although I will be taking the chair at WMBD Radio in Peoria tomorrow, the next day, and Friday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of next week. So if you're in the Peoria area, you might tune us in for the noon show there and early in the morning in that 5 o'clock hour. That'll be something I'll have to get used to. Anyway, you have a great Christmas and a happy new year. I'm Todd Gleason. This has been the Closing Market Report on WILL.